Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, one of the books, two to go. Second hour of the show starting now. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM. Ocho, that is to you. It's Brian McDonald and me. So if you address your text starting with Jeremy, that's on you, not me. Brian, you got anything else before we get out on the Astros?
Yeah, one more bad to get to. Not an ugly, just a bad, because obviously this guy has been I believe you had him as the first half MVP when we did that exercise last week. But Ronel Blanco, not a good day yesterday. And overall, this was something I brought up. I think it might have been during Cash It or Trash It, about, you know, kind of the worry of a second half regression. I thought he would be the fourth best starting pitcher for the Astros once Verlander got back. And obviously not a good start yesterday. And you look at his last five starts now, over that time frame, his ERA is 390, which, I mean, if you told me before the season, hey, Ronel Blanco is going to pitch a full season with a 390 ERA, I would have taken it, considering what we knew of him up until that point. But, you know, coming from a guy that was low twos, you know, basically the whole season, mm-hmm. to see him over a five-start stretch, especially as we see the velocity dip a little bit. Obviously, there's a little more tape, more time for guys to kind of get a feel for him. 390 ERA, including yesterday, over the last five starts. Tiny little, you know, concern, red flag to kind of look at and maybe put a pin in and keep an eye on it going down the stretch, because he's starting to regress back to the mean, or maybe towards the place we thought he would be.
What you said means that he shouldn't have thrown 100 pitches yesterday, in my opinion. Like, yeah. You could have gotten him out at 89. He ended up, luckily, with a short pitch inning to get out with 100. But that's something that you got to monitor. Because the one thing that I go back to, too, because to the point that you're making, it's something that they've had experience with in the past. When you had Luis Garcia on the fast track, and this is a different scenario, but at the same time, it's relatable because of the fact that both guys had never been to the big leagues before and had never thrown the kind of innings that they were throwing. And suddenly Luis Garcia, who was, you know, fast-tracked through Double-A all the way up to the bigs and then throwing a ton of innings, everybody said, well, at some point they're going to monitor it. And they kept saying, yeah, at some point we're going to be concerned with it. We got to watch. But they didn't. And suddenly he has Tommy John surgery, and he sets you way back. Now, Blanco's different because he's an older pitcher. But at the same time, this is the most innings that he has been taxed with. And as effective
as
he's
been.
Will be soon,
yeah.
I'm just saying, it's pretty inevitable. He's going to pass that.
Yeah, he's at 114 right now in the season. His previous season high is low 120. So he's a starter two away.
No question. So that's what I'm saying.
He's going to blow right by it.
He's going to get there and more, and you're going to need him come playoff time. So therefore, if you have concerns at all, or you should be concerned at all, the six-man rotation is one thing, but you've got to kind of ease back on some of his innings, because you don't want him out of juice regardless of whether he's hurt or not. You don't want him gassed by the time you come to the postseason.
Yeah, I don't want to use the term or go with the philosophy of necessarily like a hard pitch count. I don't usually like that because, you know, I don't want to set an expectation before the game without feeling the rhythm and what's happening in the game situation that goes on once the game begins. But I would be, like you said, what was he at? What was he at? 89 pitches? Is that what you said he could have got?
Like, yeah, 89, and they took him to 100.
That would be in a perfect spot to go ahead and get him out. Like, you don't actually set a hard limit, like 85 pitches, that's it. But you kind of feel it. If he gets to the fifth inning and he's, you know, 85 pitches or so, go ahead and get him out. Save that inning for, you know, when you need it more in October, and hand it over to the bullpen. Now you're going to have to add to the bullpens if you can't trust guys like Montero, so you don't burn up the guys behind him. But yeah, I think that would be, in addition to a six-man rotation, would be a way that you can maybe extend Blanco, save some energy for October, and not overtax him, is just be smart with it. Like, you don't have to have him throw 105 pitches. You don't have to have him throw even 100. If he gets to, you know, 79, 85 pitches after five innings, go ahead and take him out.
Yeah, no, that, and again, It's situational. It's game by game.
Yeah.
And you can ride
if the game's not tied or something.
Yeah,
but
you can ride it out if you feel like matchups say he should stay in or if he's been good against a certain hitter. But at the same time, you saw what Seattle did with Wu and the fact that he's 24-25, but he's had some issues before to where he was hurt earlier in the year, and now 69-70 pitches, when you hit that neighborhood, he's done. And he was rolling for a while, and you understand why you go with him, but he's a predominantly fastball pitcher too. At the same time, it doesn't matter how old you are only going to go as far as your starting pitching are going to take you in a lot of ways with this team, and you need all hands on deck. That's why for everybody saying, well, you got to go get a bat before the trade deadline. It's nice if they go big. It's nice to have these grand thoughts about them being able to get a starter and a bat and or a relief pitcher, but I still think the starting pitcher is the most important thing that they got to go get simply because of Blanco, because of what you don't know with Garcia, because of the fact that Verlander's going to come back at some point, you think, but you really have to have him. And so when all these guys are coming back, you also can't have them gassed by the time you get to the postseason or have anything linger.
Yeah, no, I all three of those things are to me, in a perfect world, would be something I would like them to add, that being a starting pitcher, relief pitcher, and a bat. But, starting pitcher number one, because, I think it saves you for multiple reasons. You don't know what you're going to get. One name you didn't mention, but you don't know what you're going to get from Jake Bloss. Is he going to be a guy that can give you more than four innings and a start? And if he can't, he's taxing the bullpen on those starts, and then the bullpen may not be available to come in early when you need to pull Blanco after five. So adding that starting pitcher at the trade deadline, whether it be a guy like Eric Fetty or Tyler Anderson, whoever it would happen to be, gives you the advantage of being able to go to a six-man rotation, give the rest just based on that, but also, hopefully, it gives you a guy that can go deeper into the games, at least six innings, and save the bullpen so they're ready to come in so Blanco doesn't have to go past 85, 90 pitches every start.
It's a lot to do with the eye test, too. I know that long-term, I believe Bloss is going to be a guy that's going to be a key contributor to their starting rotation. But when I see him right now with kind of like he tries to get too cute, he tries to paint the corners a lot, control sometimes gets to be an issue. He's just not a guy. I understand he's a bridge guy that can get you through the regular season, but if you can get some of the guys you mentioned or even a Flaherty or guys like that, I just think that it's more important to get the six-man rotation so that you don't tax the arms that you're really going to need come playoff time. And if you get a guy with experience for the rest of this year, for sure, that's going to allow you to be able to ease the other guys back like JV, see if Garcia can help you. But then come playoff time, you already know, hey, I didn't have to overthrow Blanco because he's going to be as important to me as Brown and Fromber and JV and the guys I really need.
Yeah, I like Jake Bloss, but maybe it's just too soon for him. He was drafted only last season. He completely skipped the AAA level. He came up here because it was an emergency. You needed the arms. He didn't really have another option. They've had too many injuries, and they didn't really have anywhere else to turn. But ideally, I think you maybe send him back down to AAA. Maybe use him as a I take that back. I don't want to use him as a long guy out of the pen in the regular season. But you send him down to AAA because even if you go six-man rotation with Bloss, if he's a guy that can only get you four and a third or something like that, sure it helps. But if you're taxing the bullpen and they're not able to come in after five for Blanco, then it doesn't really. The advantage of the six-man rotation is lost a little bit if he's only able to go four and a third innings.
Yeah, no, and I think that's what we're on the same page with that. Because, I saw Blue Ball pitch in person. I've seen the guys that they're talking about. Those guys might have big picture possibilities because of their talent level. But for this season, my eye test tells me that's not the kind of guy that I'm going to rely on every sixth start and believe that he's going to keep me in a ball game and he's going to do what I need to do, especially if it's a tight race. I need a veteran right there or a guy that I can rely on that I know been there, done that. There's certain things I don't have to worry about as much. That's why I think starting pitching is your top priority, and then a bat, and then a relief pitcher, because of guys you may get back, even a Penn Murphy, but guys you might have. Some guys might be not stretched out enough to where the only thing they can give you is bullpen.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because obviously once you get to the postseason, you're only using four starters anyway. So some of these guys you're looking to add, and that'll be a question that comes into play when you do try to add a pitcher, starting pitcher at the deadline is, you need just the body so that you have the six starters. So some of these guys like Ronel Blanco and Spencer Arrighetti aren't overworked. But you'd also, considering the prospects you're going to have to give up to get a guy like a Tyler Anderson or like an Eric Fetty, it's really only worth it if he's actually someone that can figure into your playoff rotation, which is going to be pretty hard to do if Verlander is back and being Verlander, because he's obviously behind Verlander. He's behind Fromber. He's behind Hunter Brown the way he's pitching right now. And unless Blanco completely falls off, you'd figure he'd be behind Blanco. So it's going to be an interesting kind of risk reward, or you know, what, weighing the potential payoff versus the cost that it'll take for Dana Brown to add a guy so you get the six-man rotation to get you through the regular season, but then balancing that with the amount of prospects you're going to have to give up if he's not even a guy that would make your playoff rotation.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we got plenty more to get to. Let's get to some Texans talk. Let's get into some of the training camp, some of the things we're hearing, a move that the Texans made over the weekend, and your thoughts as well as we get a little deeper into Texans training camp, getting ready for the Hall of Fame game. So if you want to get on the conversation, 713-780-3776, you can call or text. You can hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend, Doc Linville. Doc Linville is definitely the best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure and PRP treatments. And he can do for you what he's done for me, and he's done for Granado, and he's done for so many that we keep telling you about. He can get your hair back. And it's a big game-changing moment when you figure out you don't need the sprays and the creams and the foams that just mask the problem. He really, truly solves the problem once and for all, because as he told me in my consultation, which I was not aware of, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. So he's able to repurpose some of that and put that where you need it most. In the NeoGraft procedure, it's like re-sodding your lawn. He takes some hair from the sides and the back. He puts it where you need it most. Once that hair settles in, there's a 95 to 99% success rate for the hair to actually settle in and be there for the long haul for you. You start seeing the results almost instantly in 6 to 9 months when you see the true results. You have thicker, stronger, longer hair, better coverage area, and a ton more self-confidence by looking in the mirror. It's phenomenal. And if you're not quite to the point of the NeoGraft, Doc will tell you, hey, all you need is PRP. It's like fertilizing the lawn. The hair's there. We just need to do something that kind of stimulates more growth so it gets stronger and longer. He's the best in the business. Therefore, he wants you to come see him, and he loves listening to us like you do, so he wants to make it worth your while. Therefore, normally anybody off the street, it costs $150 to go see him and get information on the processes that I'm talking about and the procedures. You get it for free just by going to 975hair.com. You go to 975hair.com, set up an appointment, free of charge, no commitment, no signing on the dotted line, no money out of pocket. Just them explaining the procedures, you asking questions, them answering them, and you seeing if it's right for you. It was right for me. It was right for Granado. You could be next in line. We can't say enough good things about the good people with Doc Linville's office. Check them out today at 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Paid for by Jackpot.com. You must be 18 or older to order a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, Texas. At Jackpot.com, you can now buy your favorite lottery games, including Powerball, Mega Millions, Pick 3, Lotto Texas, and more right from your phone. Go to Jackpot.com, choose your lottery game, pick your lucky numbers, and get your winnings instantly. Plus, use promo code Texas to get a free ticket with your first play. Go to Jackpot.com and buy lottery tickets on your phone. Go to Jackpot.com. That's Jackpot.com.
Fixing your car or repairing things around your house sure isn't getting any cheaper. And that's why there's Everything Brakes for Home and Auto. For less than a dollar a day, get automotive repair coverage with free roadside assistance, free towing, and free rental cars. Add home protection, too, and cover major home systems, appliances, and electronics. Bundle home and auto and save even more. Call now and qualify for one of our bonus coverages, like 1 year of free car coverage, 1 year of free electronics coverage, or 4 months of free home warranty coverage. There's one number to call and one company handling your claims from start to finish. That's Everything Brakes. Get your free quote today. Call 800-936-0219. 800-936-0219.
Get it all covered your way, because Everything Brakes.
Savings vary according to plan, age, or condition of vehicle or home repairs needed. Coverage not available in all states. Service fees, limitations, and exclusions apply. Go to everythingbrakes.com/terms for details. Call 800-936-0219. Online at everythingbrakes.com.
Innovation has always been the hallmark of Pro Dunk Basketball Goals. Their latest invention is a game changer. Jeremy Branham here. Pro Dunk Goals have been adjustable for years, allowing you to raise and lower the height of your goal, but now you can use their patent-pending Lightning Adjust feature to change the height 10 times faster. It's so easy and fun to do. Check out the new Lightning Adjust feature at ProDunk.com. The best basketball goals on the planet. ProDunk.com.
There are so many ways to enjoy MyBookie, whether you're betting on sports or playing in their live casino.
Del Olalea here. At MyBookie, you can bet on football futures like your hometown team winning over or under 9.5 wins. Or you can bet on today's football games all over the world. MLB, UFC, golf, tennis, you can even bet on the WNBA. Take watching sports up a notch with a little wager on the game. If you're into blackjack and roulette, MyBookie's casino features live dealers. It's like playing at a table in Vegas, but in your own home. Let's talk bonuses. If you're new to MyBookie, you can get a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. If you're already on MyBookie, they have reload bonuses to maximize your deposit. Go to MyBookie.ag, click on bonuses, and use promo code BET975. It's the best online sportsbook and casino. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
All right, back on the Bees, B-Mac and Blank. If you take it till 6 o'clock, get into a little Texans talk as camp continues and they keep going through the motions, except for a guy named Joe Mixon who's probably just getting a little R&R as a veteran in his late 20s, Brian, as you and Jeremy like to point out, because I have more hope
in him than you. I think he's just 28 for the next few days is what's going on.
In my mind, he's going to stay 28 for the next few years because I think he's going to be productive. But we had talked about the fact that regardless of whether they extended him or not, Joe Mixon was looked, a lot of people look at it as a very positive move for this team. But I was pretty adamant about the fact that the number two running back, no matter what you think of Pierce or their draft pick, Jordan, I didn't think that the second running back was on the roster yet. Now, they made a move over the weekend, and they bring in a guy with NFL experience, Cam Akers. He's young. He had some good years for the Rams. He was with the Vikings a year ago. But he's as Lance put it, and Lance tweeted this out, but Cam Akers to the Texans running back room has a chance to be a sneaky good addition. If he needs to stay healthy, but he has some juice, can play three downs, and is a better zone fit than Pierce. I like this a lot. Like I said, he's 25 years old. He's still got plenty left in the tank. Yes, he's coming off his second, was Achilles injury, to where
that's a lot. That's a big deal.
That's going to be a factor. It. But just the age itself, I like. The fact that he's not going to be the every down between the tackles back and not going to be counted on to be that, hopefully. He brings great depth to the room in terms of backup capabilities for Mixon. And like Lance said, a third down back that can help you get yards on big plays on third down passing situations.
The last thing Lance mentioned, I think, is the best point. Like he does have experience in the zone scheme that is a better fit than Damian Pierce. I mean, Cam Akers, obviously starting his career with the Rams under Sean McVay, is a far better fit when healthy, when he doesn't have multiple Achilles rupture, than Damian Pierce showed last season. So that part to me is 100% dead on. I just don't think, like, I get that he's 25, but when you've had two Achilles ruptured, I mean, what's your real running back age? I mean, okay, you may be 25 according to the birth certificate, but you've had two Achilles rip and tear. To me, he might even be older in running back years than Joe Mixon, who's 28, I'll point out again.
Thanks.
But, yeah, he had a good rookie season, no doubt about it. I believe a third-round pick out of Florida State, maybe a second-round pick. I liked him a lot, but the multiple Achilles injuries, I just don't see it. I mean, other than him, the first time he came back from Achilles injury, and then Deontay Foreman, who tore his here with the Texans and then has gone on to play pretty well in different spots with the Panthers and the Bears and a few other places, Titans, obviously. There's not a long list of running backs who have really successfully come back from the Achilles injuries, and now he's doing it twice. I just don't see it. And even last year, like, if you look at his box score, his football reference page, he was 2.8 per carry. I mean, he
matters, O-line matters. Minnesota wasn't a great offensive
remember, he spent part of last season with the Rams, too, yeah. And Sean McVay tried to kick him to the curb.
Bickering, too, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. I mean, Sean McVay, I mean, you'd figure a system as running back friendly as what the Rams run under Sean McVay, they would be salivating to play there, and yet he and Akers seem to be constantly at odds. They tried to ship him out before, and they're playing Daryl Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Not last season, but the season before. They bring him back, and they try it again, and they end up eventually sending him on to Minnesota. once they figured out Alexander Madison wasn't going to work. But yeah, I just don't. I mean, 2.8 per carry last year, multiple Achilles injuries. That really good rookie season in 2021 feels like a lifetime ago at this point. I look at it, Brian, and I say,
here's a guy that maybe this is his last shot. To your point, he's been through a couple situations. He hasn't been great. He's got into it with a coach or two. Now he's in a winning situation. He knows this is a good team. He knows he doesn't have to be, he's not going to get the carries initially, but that if he plays his cards right, that he could be a pretty good piece to where he's going to get playing time based on who else is in the room besides Mixon, to where he can kind of resurrect his career too. From a medical standpoint, all I can say, and I'm not saying this other than I have my fingers crossed, is the fact you're right. Coming off two Achilles, it's not great. You hope medical technology is at a certain level right now to where maybe the way that they can take care of an Achilles now and possibly make it stronger. You don't know. It's like the Tommy John surgeries as they got more advanced with it. But I like the fact that it's a good tire to kick. It's a good guy to bring in to say, hey, look, for what was a pretty weak market of free agents that were left on the board, and we had talked about it, you bring in a guy that's young, that has experience with some teams, that might be hungry enough to be the kind of guy you need as a number two.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't even looking at it from that aspect of like just last chance, you know, his will, his fight, his, the dog in him. I'm not even really coming at it from that standpoint, saying he doesn't have any of that. I'm looking at just from two Achilles tears, 2.8 per carry last year, especially since the latest Achilles tear, again, from a time and point when he was averaging 2.8 per carry, was in November. Look, I'm not a doctor. I don't maybe fully understand the timeline of these things completely, like a doctor would, but I have Achilles tear in November. My first reaction to you in text is like, is he even going to play this year?
Well, you and I were scouring the internet at about probably the same time trying to figure out. He's
practicing. I see him in drills.
I was under the assumption you don't make this move if you're the Texans, because as I mentioned several times, I think that Caserio answered Paul's question that kind of even gave me more credence to say, hey, look, every day they're watching camps. And if team A, that's not a contending team, is worried about a veteran in camp that maybe has had some success but has a high salary, and you get a young player drafted that you bring in that you think can do some things, maybe that's a cap casualty that ends up being a guy you acquire. But if you're going to bring, because there's going to be plenty of options between now and the start of the regular season with cutdowns and those cap casualties, I'm not bringing in Cam Akers if I don't think he's going to contribute from the start of the season, if I don't think he's going to be a guy that can be my number two. So that's why when you brought that up, I was like, well, God, why would they make that move if he's not going to be available but until like week 6 to 8?
Yeah, maybe he's ahead of schedule, which, of course, everyone's ahead of schedule. If you read NFL headlines this time of year, everyone's ahead of schedule and everyone's in the best shape of their life. That's kind of
except for Mahomes. But then, of course, he makes one throw that gets shown 150 times and suddenly he's not fat.
Yeah, the throw to
Worthy.
To Xavier Worthy Hookem. Look, I look at it from two standpoints. Like, my initial reaction was like, he's not going to be ready. He tore his Achilles in November. But maybe kind of relating this to ACL injuries, you see guys now tear their ACL midway, maybe late in the year, and come back and they're ready to play. Like Javonte Williams, running back with the Broncos, nasty injury, came back and played. But he wasn't really himself. He's back and playing. He's going through the drills. He's on the field. But he doesn't really start to look himself until, maybe 18 months, a year and a half. So maybe that's kind of what we're seeing with Cam Akers. Mm-hmm. He's going through the drills. He's out there participating. But, what version of himself is he? And maybe this is something, because Joe Mixon is giving the 28-year-old running back days off, maybe, because they signed him. They worked him out, signed him the same day. And the timing of it being when Joe Mixon was going to be out, too. So maybe this is just, we need another running back. Joe Mixon's out right now. We need more running backs to go through the drills. And then once Mixon's back, we'll see if K-Makers is still on the roster. But
I think that's also going to be based on, you're right, I'm sure it's not big money, and maybe it's not even guaranteed.
Oh, it's got to be nothing.
Right. Yeah. So you're getting veteran minimum work in camp, and then if someone else frees up from another team and becomes available, it's fairly easy to be able to move on from him and say there's a bigger, better option for us that we're going to go get. But I also think from some of the position groups that we highlighted, there's still a couple other positions to pay attention to across the league for those kind of players as well, and you only have so much money to spend. So this is a cheap fill for the time being. I hope for the best because of the reasons that I highlighted. I understand the worst in some of the reasons that you highlighted that, look, across sports, and I mentioned the Tommy John, you mentioned the ACL. The fact is, medically, if you're just everyday Joe Blow going to work, and even an athlete, the actual recovery time is a lot quicker, and the procedures are go a lot better than they did early on. But the fact is, most times when you hear about this, even pitchers that say, well, my arm is stronger, but it's going to take you, you know, a year to get it all figured out in a lot of cases to where you can figure out how much extra strength you have and what you can do. From a knee perspective, it was from the microfracture surgeries like T-Mac did and some of the guys did early on. The recovery time might be a lot quicker now with a microfracture or an ACL. But they always say you're not going to be yourself for probably a year performance-wise coming off an injury like that. So we don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah, and especially with running back. I mean, there's maybe wide receiver, but there are a few positions in sports. I mean, NBA player will probably factor into that as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's few positions in sports that cut as much as a running back does and is, you know, on his day-to-day basis playing the sport that he does. So yeah, Javonte Williams is a name I brought up. Other than Adrian Peterson, who was just a freak of nature in his prime and came off an ACL and had a fantastic year the year following, we haven't seen a lot of guys. We've seen a lot of guys come back and play, you know, right away, be ready for training camp, be ready for week one coming off the ACL tear the year before. But we haven't seen most of those guys, when they come back, they're not really the same in September. They're not really the same even in October. They don't really start to feel and look like that guy that we remember until they hit around that 18-month mark. And that's even with ACL surgery, which has had far more, you know, success with guys returning than what we've seen at the running back position from Achilles, which, again, is basically just Cam Akers and Deontay Foreman. That's basically it as the guys who successfully return at running back from Achilles tears.
I think it's fair to just label it a work in progress at that number two spot for the running back.
Yeah, I don't think they have their number two running back yet. Yeah. I guess to kind of bring this all the way back to the question we asked at the beginning, I agree with you that maybe their number two running back is not on the roster. I would say they still don't have their running back, running back two on the roster.
Before the Akers signing, that's what I said. Now, after the Akers signing, that doesn't mean they're done. And it might still be the guy that ends up solidifying the number two is definitely not on the roster yet. All right, we're going to get to our Mailbag Monday. You can ask us anything. 713-780-3776. Text us, call us, Twitch, tweet, YouTube. We always can go and pretty much answer just about anything within reason. So you guys want to throw some questions at that, we'll throw some answers. We got more to get to still from camp. Ocho had an observation that he wants to talk about. We've had some other things in terms of rankings and ratings of players and such that we'll get to, but we always want to hear from you. So stick with us. Second half of the show comes up next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Y'all got some twisted minds when we say ask anything. I will say that. And Key from L.A.
Ask anything means ask anything, Joel.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we got to mention anything because some of these things are way out there. And 0002, just when I show you some love and read your text messages, you go out there with some just completely like, what the absolute hell are you talking about?
I just want to know what it means. I don't even care what the take is.
Yeah,
I just want to know what it
means. An explanation without even mentioning it because that was so great just out there. But as we normally know, that of our loyal listeners, Pena is the guy that always has the most thought-provoking. He puts the most into this and takes it seriously enough that he always joins the show. Pena, without further ado, you will kick us off.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, so my question this week is, if y'all were to win the lottery, let's say $75 million, what are the first three things y'all are buying? Thank y'all. Have a great day.
B-Mac, you want to start?
Oh, man. First,
you win the lottery. I don't know how much that is, but obviously.
He said $75 million, so after taxes, you're getting, what, about $50 million, maybe?
Maybe.
Yeah, something. Let's,
40, 50.
Yeah, 40, 50. So, I mean, still money that you never have to work again if you. Let's start there. You strike me as a workaholic, Joel. I don't know if that's fair.
I've been the Ripken of this station.
Okay, I mean, you don't take many days off. Even it seems like you probably lose when the PTO rolls over. It would seem like you would lose some days because you don't take much. But if you won the lottery, let's start here, and we'll go back to Pena's question about what you would buy. But would you actually quit, or would you keep working if you won it?
I would, and I think we talked about this
before. I would quit, no doubt about it.
I would quit eventually, but I'm not going to quit initially. I'm going to be here for a while, and I'm going to kind of figure it out and have a plan.
because then once I have the plan, I'm going to stick to it. So until I know, like, where I'm going to go, I'm going to live,
okay,
do those
fair.
Kind of things, I don't want to just jump off the deep end right away and go, bye. But I eventually would go away.
Yeah, I would. Maybe I overreacted by saying I would quit right away, because I would still want something to do each day. Like, I would run out of, I mean, I know Netflix is vast, that library, but I would run out of things to do eventually. There's only so many Jason Statham movies I can watch, unfortunately. I would think I don't know if I would call it definitely not a full-time job, but if I could, I don't know, maybe Joe would just let me run Space Cowboys games a couple times a week, just something to get me out of the house occasionally.
That's not what I would pick.
No, I mean, I wouldn't need the money, but I don't know if that would be available. But yeah, I don't think I could.
I would stick to your Saturday show.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. I couldn't go cold turkey and just completely stop working altogether. But three things I would buy right now. I'm trying to think of what it would be. It's not
easy for me.
Okay.
Mine would be a house with a golf membership.
Hold on. Span on the house, because you already have a house. Like, how big of a house are we talking
I'm
about?
I'm getting a house on a golf course.
Okay.
So that I'm getting the golf membership that goes with it. So that now I don't have to worry too much about what to do during the day if I'm not working, because I'm going to play golf, and I'm going to play golf on a nice course, and I'm going to have a house in which we have everything that we need, because believe it or not, we're more introverted off the air and off of when we're outside of our jobs, to where we would have, you know, the pool and everything there and have everything we need for a house. I would have golf. And then from there, my buddies and I have talked about this. I'm not a big car guy. I'm not like I need extravagant.
I have a car on my list too. I'm interested to see which one you say.
But I'm not. So I don't need.
Oh,
like,
you don't have one.
I mean, I don't need like an expensive, extravagant car or anything like that. If I drove an SUV, I'm good. Like, if you want to give me, you know, more top upscale SUV, super. I don't. There's nothing like that that strikes me that says that I need that or want that. I'll tell you what. This is exactly the right thing.
Okay.
The right answer.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
It's the house, it's the golf membership, and it's buying some kind of a doggy daycare center so that my wife doesn't get mad when I go play golf and she has something to do and that's something she's always wanted. So there's the exact correct answer from a very much politically correct and family standpoint.
Basically, your answer, if I could sum it up in one word, is golf.
I love golf.
Because everything you're buying basically kind of revolves around you being able to play golf a whole lot.
No, it's doing something that I love to do.
Which, again,
without my wife getting on me for doing it, because she'll have something she can do.
I know, but that's my point. Like, all your answers revolve around being able to get you to be able to play more golf.
I loved golf and played it in the off seasons 4 to 5 times a week until I got married and had kids and realized there's no time to do it anymore. So the fact that I would have all the time in the world to do it again would be awesome.
Yeah, so my answer, I would have a car, and there's one in particular. I mean, I love watching. I mean, I'm not a guy that can, you know, do a lot of stuff as far as rebuilding cars, restoring cars. I'm not talented in that way. I don't have that skill set. But I do enjoy them, and so I would get a. You remember the Plymouth Roadrunner cars?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of my favorite. You know, 1969, 1970, somewhere around there.
Okay.
So that would be a purchase. Big house with a kind of like a. Not a completely, maybe not to scale, a movie-sized movie theater inside the house, but pretty close to it. And then the kind of the third purchase would be a group of things, but things to make. Basically, I want to make it to where I don't have to leave the house if I don't want to.
Exactly.
So some sort of really sick game room that's basically an arcade. So where I've got my movie theater in my house, I've got my arcade in my house, I've got the car, and I never really have to, well, other than the car, to drive around.
You got the car, you don't have to leave the house.
Yeah, I don't really have to leave the house. So that would be the things I would purchase.
4963 says a Rimac Nevera electric hypercar. And I'm with Joel. A nice house on a golf course.
Okay. We have, yeah, I don't know that car, but I don't think I'd be getting anything electric. Nothing against electric cars, but I would want something that would sound a little cooler.
You like that?
I mean, electric cars, I would want something with a little more, I don't know, a little oof, I guess. But from 8576, Joel, can you beat John Granato 1-1 in golf?
Granato plays a whole hell of a lot these days, and I don't. But I firmly believe if I tune up my game and if I started to play frequently, I could beat Granato.
I mean, from everything Jeremy told you, you played pretty well in the ESPN 97.5 golf tournament.
Yeah, I have played 4 years.
I guess, yeah.
So I think I could tune it up.
You think you could tune it up and beat Granato?
Mm-hmm. Now, with this new cushy-cush you know, dual houses, dual country clubs. We'll see. So then, like I said, 0002 can come with the complete oddities and then can come with decent ones. Which sports narrative goes away quicker, LBJ over MJ or Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese hating each other?
I don't think the LBJ, MJ ever
Caitlin
goes
Clark
away.
And Angel Reese because they played well together this weekend. They said they like playing on the same team with one another. That was the first time they've done it. It doesn't seem like there's any kind of true animosity to where I think when people see things like that, they go, yeah, it's fine. But the LBJ,
it's
especially
never
with
going
the Millennials
away.
Plus.
Our grandkids will be arguing about
no
it.
No doubt. They're never getting off the fact that they think LeBron's better than MJ.
Yeah, that's never going away. So the answer has to be Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Completely agree. Yeah, no doubt. Let's see what else we got here. Was LeBron the best option for the U.S. Olympic team to be the flag bearer? I might have said.
What's the opening ceremony? He's carrying the flag.
Has Simone Biles done it before?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say Katie Ledecky would have been someone you would consider as well.
Those two would be top of the list if they haven't done it because of their overall achievements, and this is probably their last Olympics.
I don't have a wide enough range of knowledge on the best Olympic athletes to be able to make that call, but off the top of my head, LeBron's up there for sure, but if it had been Katie Ledecky or Simone Biles, I think that would also have been a good call.
This is one for you. Picking 10th in my fantasy league of 10, what would your strategy be?
At that position, I definitely probably am leaning wide receiver with my first pick. I mean, stay water, though. Like, don't lock yourself into a strategy because home leagues are different than what you see in expert leagues. If it's all running backs in the first round, you know, basically zig if others zag, go wide receiver. And then keep yourself in a situation when it gets back to you at the 3-4 turn where you're not locked into having to have a certain position. Like, I would not want to go either running back when it comes back for your second round pick, assuming it's a 10 team league where you got back-to-back picks. I wouldn't go running back or wide receiver because then you lock yourself into having to take the other one with your next pick when maybe, depending on how the draft falls, the position value isn't there. So
I go running back, receiver, and maybe I'm sure Kelsey's gone. But if you can get a good tight end, you think about it. But I'd go running back, receiver.
Yeah, I would go running back, receiver, just to keep your options open when it comes back 3-4. That's a little early for Kelsey, so I wouldn't consider him there. It's also too early for quarterback. So running back, wide receiver.
Okay. LeBron lost at the Olympics. He should be carrying the flag. Some other comments. I would fix my current house, pay it off, then sell that house and buy a bigger house, about 5 acres, buy the wife an SUV, buy me a truck, and I would still work. See, I think there are people that realize you get really complacent and bored when you don't have a job. That I think there's people that would work for a while before they decided to kind of, someone else smartass said, you guys both have about $30 million left because you really didn't do a whole lot. That's fine. That's a good position to be in.
Yeah, well, he just said the first, Pena asked what, like, the first three things you would buy. Yeah. Like, we absolutely have tons of money left over. There are other things I would buy, but those would be the first three.
But like
I would have to have something to do. Like, I couldn't sit home as much as I like to watch, you know, true crime documentaries and Jason Statham movies. I couldn't sit home and watch and do that all day long. I would need to be able to get out and do something on not necessarily a 9-to-5 everyday basis, but yeah, like a part-time job, 20 hours a week, something like that to keep from going crazy.
Well, I think that's why Granato does what he does. But I think that when you think about it, too,
he has hit the lottery, I think.
You say the other thing that you mentioned, which is a good point, when you say you got $30 million left. Right. But depending on what the new house that I buy has and doesn't have, I'm going to want to add things to it. The man cave has to be at a level for watching sports with the big screens and the multiple screens and the sound and all that stuff. And then depending on what else you like to do, you need to put I'd put a golf simulator in my house. There's no doubt about it.
You're right on the golf course, though, in your scenario.
Right.
You still have the golf simulator, even though you're, like, right up against the green?
Brian, at 10 o'clock at night, if I want to go hit balls and the country club is closed.
Man, you're dedicated.
I'm going to go hit balls, and so I need a golf simulator.
Yeah, okay. That's four more. You're going to shake your head at me when I say, you're already doing it. Maybe you're anticipating what I'm about to say. If I was going to add, let's just add something else to the list that's after the top three. Mm-hmm. It would be golf, but it wouldn't be golf like you're playing. I would have some sort of, if I've got this massive backyard, I would have like a mini golf set up outside, like a and I for kids, but for adults, basically the windmills, the, you know, the whatever the obstacles, the whole nine yards. Okay. I love playing mini golf. One of the places I used to play all the time in the Clear Lake area has been shut down now for a few years. So there's not really, there's a place in Katy, and there's a, I think a place.
Tiger's got a new one. They opened one in,
yeah, there's one in Katy,
and
I think there's,
Katy, yep.
There's one on the north side, like maybe Woodlands area. There's, I know there's a golf place in Galveston, but there's not a lot of places kind of in the central areas of Houston. So I would add something like that.
Simulators
to my backyard
are the new big deal.
Yeah, like, definitely so.
The NBA guys got into it. Will Smith and a lot of actors. They're like, and now it's just like you can't stop in terms of you can make them like the places that I've spoke like X Golf and Katy. Like when you can play any course around the world and it's pretty close to realistic, it's pretty awesome when you can play at any time, day or night, and weather conditions. That's a big deal. Someone 8143 says I'd buy an entry into the World Series of Poker main event.
Oh, I guess it depends on your job. You don't have to win the lottery for that. It's expensive, but it's not win $70 million expensive.
No, at the same time, there's your hobby, just like golf.
Oh no, if I won the lottery, I'd be playing in the main event every year for sure.
4963 said my third purchase would be adding a 2-lane bowling alley on my golf course house. So people are with me on the golf course membership in the house.
No, I get it. I would rather play, and maybe this makes me soft, but I would rather play putt-putt than actual golf. Maybe that's the inner child in me, but I would rather do that than play a full 18.
8656 says, one, I'd get a tax attorney counsel. Two, I'd get an investment counsel.
Oh, come
three,
on.
I'd get a vacation. Okay, that's fine.
Those are probably the right answers, but it's also the boring answers.
Joel, tell Brian there are no rain checks with the golf simulator. Okay,
good point. Again, I'm not playing the full 18, though. I just want to play putt-putt.
Can't work with that much money. It's a full-time job moving all that money around. That's why you hire an investment person.
Yeah, for sure. But that's not the first three things, because I want the first three things to be fun.
And your boy 0002 has to finish it off by saying, BMAC, mini golf at the old Celebration Station and Malibu Golf were cool, so I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. The one I'm talking about, it was called, I'm trying to remember the name, but it was on... It was on NASA Road 1.
Wasn't there one here on 59 for the longest time?
There was. I don't remember the name of it, but it's actually...
I think that was Malibu Grand Prix.
The one I'm remembering, I think it was... There was one at the corner of 59 and North Park, which is really close to where I live in Kingwood. Okay. It was called... I think it was called Mountain. I think Mountain was the name. Okay. But they bulldozed it more than a decade ago, and it's now like a... Well, what's fixing to be kind of just like a fake mini lake. But yeah, there was a... The one I'm thinking of was on NASA Road 1 in Clear Lake. It was called like Putt Putt. I think it was just called Putt Putt, but it was great. We used to go there all the time.
Like it would be fun to say I'd buy a team or something like that, but that's not enough money to do that.
So no, $75 million is not enough.
You're not doing that yet. You could be an investor. All right, that'll do it for Mailbag on a Monday. We've got more coming up on the show, so stick with us. Almost through hour number two. Still taking you all the way till 6, so more than 60 minutes to go. Plenty more to get to with the Texans, the Astros, and a whole lot more. And before we go to the break, I want to tell you, with all the sports that are coming up, and we know that there's plenty, you know there's going to be a golf tournament this weekend. You know the Astros and the A's are kicking things off. You know football's right around the corner. Now's a great time to get it signed up at mybookie.ag, because before it gets too crazy and hectic, you need a place that you know you can go to gamble. And that is exactly what MyBookie is. It's the destination for you to gamble on a variety of things. They got all the sports all the time when you're talking about everything from golf and UFC and tennis and baseball and basketball coming up. You also are going to have all that football around the corner, and you want a place where your money is safe and secure that takes care of you as a loyal customer to the place that you do business with. That's why I speak for MyBookie, because they've got bonuses all the time. Right now, if you've never signed up with MyBookie before, you get a sign-up bonus, which means if you use our promo code BET975 when signing up, you're going to get, depending on what you put in your account, money on top of that as a welcoming bonus to say we appreciate you. And the same thing goes for those that are already signed up at mybookie.ag. When you do a reload bonus, they're going to do the same things to take care of you. Almost instantly, you're going to find more money in your account, depending on what you put in, up to $1,000. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances you can win. And the environment and the community at their website is going to be enjoyable for you, because there's interactions and chat rooms. There's also times a perfect time for you to watch the games while you're betting on them. And the in-game and live bad game betting action is just as good as anything you're doing prior to. And there's also live dealers standing by with casino games. So anytime, even if they're maybe not sports on and you want to get some gambling on, you don't want to drive to the casino or fly to Vegas, right there at your disposal, whether it be at your phone or your laptop or your tablet, you've got mybookie.ag. Check them out today. Remember our promo code BET975. And as I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it is mybookie.ag. Promo code's BET975.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back on the Bees, wrapping up hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we like to call the Killer Bees. And the Hive is alive today. Lots of great text messages coming in. Lots of comments on you guys interacting with us throughout the course of the show. As they're rolling in, Pena has really struck a nerve with several people.
Yeah, and shout out to a listener 8998 who reminded me the name of the place I'm thinking of in Kingwood was called Mount Tasia.
Oh, you got the mount right.
So I knew that I was getting there, but I couldn't think of the full name. But yeah, R.I.P. to all the great pop up places that used to be open around the city of Houston.
Some people more specific than others, including your putt putt comments, because someone else had also thrown in. That there was after that one, there was one that said some other bizarre name of a putt putt place, but I'm not as familiar as you are with Putt Putt Funhouse.
That was the name of the place I was trying to think of in Clear Lake on Nassau Road one. Yeah, it was called Putt Putt Funhouse. They also had a small arcade. They had a small go kart track. They had like bumper cars, but on water, bumper boats, I guess would be the name. But yeah, it was a really fun place. It closed down, I think, shortly after the pandemic, like 2021.
It's amazing. Like, you're right.
It was open for basically I'm 40. It was open up until, you know, age 36 or so of my life.
That was a good run for a lot of those places because you're right. It's almost inevitable that if you had a putt-putt place, you also had go-karts.
Yep.
Batting cages, go-karts.
Yeah, the one in Galveston that it was called Magic Carpet, a listener pointed out. The one I was trying to think of in Galveston.
The strip club?
No, that's next door.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because there's no zoning laws, it's also next to a school and church. Mm. You know, shout out to Houston. But no, Magic Carpet, one of the big things besides the putt-putt, like you said, they have a batting cage. So, yeah, a lot of those things got grouped together.
Okay, gotcha. Some of these other people getting a little bit more, some people getting more extravagant than others in terms of their wish list on things that they, 7107 says, the house would need a heated pool, room for my full gym.
Okay.
And automatic hurricane shutters and a Generac.
Yeah, all good things.
Okay, but also you don't have to live here. So, like, if you want to.
Would you move?
I might.
I would. There's very few places I would consider moving. I would probably stay here. Like, Colorado would be a place. I visited there a couple times as a kid on vacation. A place called Estes Park, a tiny little tourist town.
The thing is, you can have multiple locations, right? You can keep the
house
you're in now.
Yeah, with that sort of money. Yeah, you can have multiple locations.
You can upgrade here and then have another destination.
I think that's the answer. Maybe this is going to sound really rich and elitist here. I would summer in Colorado. How elitist that I sound there, saying I would summer in Colorado. But I think I would
sunner.
I can't even say it now. I was saying stone cold stunner. No, I would summer in Colorado, and I think I would winter here in Houston. I think that's probably would be my answer.
I don't mind that at all. Yeah, I would say the summers are somewhere, and my wife would ideally love it if it was Southern California. But that's, like, if it's San Diego, I'm good.
Well, if it's San Diego, your $70 million's gone in about 2 years.
Probably right. Because San Diego, Carlsbad, or anywhere after that, yeah, you're going to probably need more than that. So that's why that doggy daycare better bring in a lot of profit. but, yeah, look, I'm not opposed to having multiple locations because I don't want to be here during hurricanes, but I love Houston otherwise, so I'd be fine with it from that particular aspect. Other people getting, like I said, a little bit more like detailed in terms of like the kinds of cars and the size of the houses and all the other things. I get it. Okay. 7107 again. Sell my house, buy a slightly larger one, more storage, and either a 3 or 4 car garage or a shop where I can keep my cars, have a dedicated spot to work on a car, store my riding lawnmower. Why are you cutting your own lawn?
That's a great question. Why would you cut?
Yeah. Lawn stuff, 300 to 400,000 range. Like, okay, green thumb, that's one thing. But, again, if you have all that money, why the hell are you cutting your lawn, doing your own yard work?
I think you answered your own question there, though, when you said the word green thumb. Some people are just really into the taking care of their gardens and their lawn.
Start a garden. I don't need, like, shrub trimmers and edgers and mowers. I know.
Some people are into it, though. That's some people, that's their thing. I mean, I wouldn't even take winning the lottery to stop cutting my grass myself. I would just take a small raise if 97.5 wants to help me out. I'll gladly pay somebody. But yeah, that's not for me. But some people are into it. Like obviously that one texter is very into cars. He wants to have a 4-car garage.
He's not done. After he got his garage, his place to work on his cars, and all of his lawn stuff and his riding mower, he also wants a 2023 Volkswagen GTI manual. Trade in his truck for a 2022 Tacoma. And save the rest and keep working.
Man, this guy has really put some thought into it.
I'm telling you, I don't know what. I think in the next text, he actually gave out a month by month budget and then a yearly expectations and the return on the investment.
You know what I find is funny is sometimes the people with the most detailed list for what they would do if they win the lottery don't play the lottery. They dream up the fantasy in their head to get through their day to day when maybe their work, you know, isn't going so well. They have this elaborate plan in their head, as the texter just had, and I would be willing to bet that texter, except for when the Powerball gets to like a billion, doesn't ever play the lottery.
Chance. Yeah. And someone 1509 thought exactly what I thought when I heard all the lawn stuff. They asked, "Was that texter Barry Laminack?" Because nothing drove me nuts more
lawn
than the
talk.
Fact that
you think we'll
lawn
get
talk. We had lawn.
You
talk,
think we'll get that tomorrow on Wednesday?
And Barry, oh my God! And it was just like, hey, last night I was cutting my lawn, and then I was thinking about putting shrubs. Who cares? No one.
Joel, there is a whole, like, subculture
on Reddit.
Oh, I know.
I got killed for saying I hated it, and I hated it.
There are these forums on Reddit where people just post these, like, picturesque, like fields of just like immaculate looking grass that people like look at to like calm down and really enjoy just looking at these, you know, these magnificently manicured lawns. Yeah, like, that people get really into it. I don't understand it, but the subculture's out there.
Now someone's trying to tell you instead of Colorado, you should go to Montana because it's cheaper on taxes. Well, when you win the lottery, okay, you go to Montana. When BMAC wins the lottery, he's going to Colorado.
I could be talked into Montana as long as it's colder and has some mountains and some fishing. I'd be fine with that. I've never been to Montana. I've been to Colorado, but I don't.
Oh my God, Denver and all Colorado.
Well, I'm not even talking about Denver though. That's too city.
I like city. I don't want to be too far out.
Well, I don't want to be right in the city though. I want to be city adjacent, maybe a suburb where I can eat. Okay. Well, I mean, fine. I don't know if the town I went to was a place called Estes Park. That's where we went to a couple times. It almost felt like it was the little town in South Park. It was just kind of, isolated, a little touristy area. But that's kind of a place I would want to go.
You nailed it on 7107.
He doesn't play the lottery?
He doesn't play the lottery.
Of course. The more elaborate the plan for what they would do if they win the lottery, the least often they win or play the lottery.
Blaine said, house in Key West, nice offshore boat, new truck. Fair. Not bad. And you still have plenty of money put away.
That's a good list.
All right. We got to get out of here, get a break. We got the final hour of the show coming up next. Still got more comments and conversation. So, therefore, if you want to join in, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. The final 60 minutes up and around the corner. BMAC and Blank, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.